Prabhupati Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Which verse is it?
Idam hi vishwam bhagavan ivetaro.
Idam hi vishwam bhagavan ivetaro.
Yato jagatstana nirodha sambhava.
Yato jagatstana nirodha sambhava.
Tadhi svayam veda bhavans tatapite.
Tadhi svayam veda bhavans tatapite.
Pradesha matram bhavatat pradarshitam.
Pradesha matram bhavatat pradarshitam.
Idam hi vishwam bhagavan ivetaro.
Idam hi vishwam bhagavan ivetaro.
Yato jagatstana nirodha sambhava.
Yato jagatstana nirodha sambhava.
Tadhi svayam veda bhavan tatapite.
Tadhi svayam veda bhavan tatapite.
Pradesha matram bhavatat pradarshitam.
Pradesha matram bhavatat pradarshitam.
Idam,
this,
he, all, Vishwam,
cosmos,
Bhagavan, the Supreme Lord, Eva, almost the same, Itaraha,
different from.
Yataha,
from whom?
Jagat,
the world.
Stana,
exist.
Nirodha,
annihilation.
Sambhava,
creation.
Tathi,
all about.
Swayam,
personally.
Veda,
no.
Bhavan,
your good self.
Tata api,
still.
Te,
unto you.
Pradesha matram,
a synopsis only.
Bhavataha,
unto you.
Pradarshitam,
explained.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is Himself this cosmos, and still He is aloof from it. From Him only has this cosmic manifestation emanated. In Him it rests, and unto Him it enters after annihilation. Your good self knows all about this. I have given only a synopsis. Purport. For a pure devotee, the conception of Mukunda, Lord Shri Krishna, is both personal and impersonal. The impersonal cosmic situation is also Mukunda, because it is the emanation of the energy of Mukunda. For example, a tree is a complete unit, whereas the leaves and branches of the tree are emanated parts and parcels of the tree. The leaves and branches of the tree are also the tree, but the tree itself is neither the leaves nor the branches. The Vedic version that the whole cosmic creation is nothing but Brahman means that since everything is emanating from the Supreme Brahman, nothing is apart from Him. Similarly, the part and parcel hands and legs are called the body. But the body as the whole unit is neither the hands nor the legs. The Lord is the transcendental form of eternity, cognition, and beauty. And thus the creation of the energy of the Lord appears to be partially eternal, full of knowledge, and beautiful also. The captivated conditioned souls under the influence of the external energy, Maya, are therefore entrapped in the network of the material nature. They accept this as all in all, for they have no information of the Lord, who is the primeval cause. Nor have they information that the parts and parcels of the body, being detached from the whole body, are no longer the same hand or leg as when attached to the body. Similarly, a godless civilization detached from the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is just like a detached hand or leg. Such parts and parcels may appear like hands and legs, but they have no efficiency. The devotee of the Lord, Srila Vyasadeva, knows this very well. He is further advised by Srila Narada to expand the idea so that the entrapped conditioned souls may take lessons from him to understand the Supreme Lord as the primeval cause. According to the Vedic version, the Lord is naturally fully powerful, and thus his supreme energies are always perfect and identical with him. Both the spiritual and material skies and their paraphernalia are emanations of the internal and external energies of the Lord. External energy is comparatively inferior, whereas the internal potency is superior. The superior energy is living force, and therefore she is completely identical. But the external energy, being inert, is partly identical. But both the energies are neither equal to nor greater than the Lord, who is the generator of all energies. Such energies are always under his control. Exactly as electrical energy, however powerful it may be, is always under the control of the engineer. The human being and all other living beings are products of his internal energies. Thus the living being is also identical with the Lord, but he is never equal or superior to the personality of Godhead. The Lord and living beings are all individual persons. With the help of the material energies, the living beings are also creating something, but none of their creations are equal or superior to the creations of the Lord. The human being may create a small, playful Sputnik and may throw it into outer space, but that does not mean that he can create a planet like the Earth or Moon and float it in the air as the Lord does. Men with a poor fund of knowledge claim to be equal to the Lord. They are never equal to the Lord. This is never to be. The human being, after attaining complete perfection, may achieve a large percentage of the qualities of the Lord, say up to 78%, but it is never possible to surpass the Lord or become equal with him. In a diseased condition only, the foolish being claims to be one with the Lord, and thus becomes misled by the illusory energy. The misguided living beings, therefore, must accept the supremacy of the Lord and agree to render loving service to him. For this they have been created. Without this, there cannot be any peace or tranquility in the world. Srila Vyasadeva is advised by Srila Narada to expand this idea in the Bhagavatam In the Bhagavad Gita also, the same idea is explained. Surrender fully unto the lotus feet of the Lord. That is the only business of the perfect living being. Here, Srila Narada and following him, Srila Prabhupada in his purport, they are outlining the very subtle, very deep philosophical doctrine as taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, Achintya-bheda-bheda. And it is also explained by Vyasadeva in more sophisticated terms in his Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutra is called Sharirika Bhash, so Sharirika Shastra. Sharira means body. But it's not about material bodies. It's not a book on anatomy or physiology. So Vedanta Sutra or Sharirika Shastra is about the entire body of God. Or the Supreme in his relationship with his personal energies of different varieties. Janadyasya yatoha. He is the source from which all this comes. So he is not without expansion, without potency. Everything, asya, this existence is his potency. It comes from him. It is maintained by him. And it all goes back into him. Yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat pravishyanti yat samyanti abhi pravishyanti. This is Brahma, the Absolute Truth. Absolute Truth is not empty. It is not zero, nor is it formless. All created beings, even the spiritual creation, not really created, but the spiritual expansion, the spiritual kingdom, all such beings come from that Supreme Absolute. They all live by being sustained by Him. And they all, when they go out of existence, they don't really go out of existence, they re-enter into Him, because they are His eternal energies. Even material energy is eternal in its pradhan form. The transformations of pradhan are all temporary, but the total material energy in her primeval form is eternal and resides in the Supreme Lord. In other words, everything has an intimate connection with God. God, the Absolute, is not empty and not alone in the very literal sense. He has many energies. Parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate. Multifold energies. And they are swabhaviki. Prabhupada was asked by his Sanskrit editor Pradyumna how to translate, how to explain the word swabhaviki in that verse of the Upanishad. Prabhupada said the energies of the Supreme are autonomous. Meaning not independent, but given some freedom. Like a dog on a leash is not free in the absolute sense. He cannot leave the yard, but he can run around the yard and he can bark at everyone who walks near the fence. So like that, the energies of the Lord are not independent. They're not separate. They're completely under the control of the Lord, but they're given some freedom to act in various ways, according to which energy it is. The material energy has no conscious will, has no consciousness. It is inert. Its action is simply mechanical. Controlled by other living forces. The dead matter is moved by living energy. Sometimes by the Supreme Lord Himself, and sometimes by His other expansions, the living beings. And the living beings are another category of energy. They are given a lot of autonomy. They're each given their own consciousness, their own desires, and their own scope of freedom to act. But still there is a relationship of difference and non-difference. This we have to understand. This is Tattvagyan that must be the foundation for our Krishna conscious life. Otherwise, we're engaging in Krishna consciousness just out of sentiment, because we think it feels good, we enjoy it, we like the prasadam, we like the kirtans, maybe we like the devotees. Because it feels good, we do it. But that is not a sufficient foundation. If you don't have strong philosophical understanding why you should be doing it, then when the inevitable time comes, when it doesn't feel good, when there's problems, because there are always problems in the material world, the cook may change and the prasadam may not taste good. The kirtan may not sound good. You may be with devotees you cannot tolerate the company of. What do? If you have knowledge, you persevere. You tolerate. Because you know that it's important to be Krishna conscious. If you don't have that knowledge, then you give up and go away. Because it doesn't feel good at the moment. You know, a child, an infant, judges everything according to immediate feelings. He wants immediate gratification. That is infantile. But a mature adult understands the goals of his life and tolerates some discomfort to achieve something. But that has to be based on knowledge. We have to have this philosophical understanding of the relationship between God and his energies. The Lord is the creation. At the same time, he's not. Maya tatam idam sarvam jagad avyaktam kritina. I pervade this entire creation. But he says, by my unmanifest form, his impersonal form, by his energies, invisible energies. Matstani sarabhutani. All created beings rest in me. Nachaham teshvavastita. But I'm not inside them. The creation is the Lord and nothing else. There is nothing else but Krishna. So the creation is also Krishna. But Krishna is not the creation. He's beyond it. You can capture the whole creation, like Hiranyakashipu or Ravana, but you won't capture Krishna, because he's beyond this material creation. Basic understanding. Even if we understand, you may try to capture by your science the material world. You may try to bring nature under the purview of your science and analyze and explain by scientific laws everything about the material nature. And then you can develop technology and utilize it. Use nature for your enjoyment. Again, like Ravana and Hiranyakashipu, but in a subtle way. Again, you will not be able to, you will have no appreciation, no clue of the fact that all of this is the energy of God. Because you're taking it as your energy to enjoy. Without this philosophical understanding, even the greatest scientist in the world is totally bewildered. Mayaya aparita jnana. This is one class of atheistic person who cannot even begin to surrender to Krishna. They may be very wise in the material estimation. They may have PhD and 14 master's degrees. But they cannot begin to understand the Supreme Person. Because all they know is the energy. And they cannot make the excuse that the creation is God. That by worshiping nature, or by becoming intimately in knowledge of nature, that we know the reality. You do not. The reality is based on the Supreme Lord. Jamadi yasya yasya. If you don't know the personality of Godhead, then you don't know the foundation of reality. You're just scraping on the surface. Any more than a doctor can put, when you have smallpox, and he puts ointment on your face to help this itching, he has only dealt with a symptom. He has not cured the disease. He has not even identified the disease. He thinks he's just dealing with some rash on the face. Actually, you have a serious life-threatening disease. He's a bad physician because he cannot identify the root cause. And it's bad science, bad philosophy, not to be able to delve below the surface and see what is the basis of existence. The cause of all causes, sarva karana karanam. Anyway, here, Narada tells Vyasa, you know that already. Tadhi bhavan veda, swayam, you know that, you already have this knowledge. I don't have to tell you this. But why have you only explained it slightly? Pradesha mantra, you've only given some small indication in your books. Yes, Upanishads are explaining abstractly the relationship of the Supreme with his energies. But it's an incomplete picture. What is this Supreme? Mayata tamidam sarvam jagat avyaktamurtina. That much you've explained. Everything is pervaded by the Supreme in its unmanifest form. But the Supreme is not only unmanifest, the Supreme is not formless. So material science, without any God consciousness, is a useless endeavor. And also, to understand the Supreme only as formless, as impersonal, is very incomplete. And it can be the most offensive endeavor also. If you're naive and just don't know any better, if you really have not been properly introduced to the personality of Godhead, then you can be excused. But if you know, and you hate the personality of Godhead, and you try to efface him and drag him down to the impersonal level, or equate yourself with God, then that is demoniac. It's the worst offense. That is our enemy. Our enemies, not even enemies, we have no enemies. But if we're going to fight, we should fight with the Mayavadis, not with each other. And we have real enemies. Again, not enemies, we have real opponents to deal with. They're living entities, they're eternal servants of Krishna, but now they're poisoned by this Mayavad. This is the real opposition to fight. Instead, we're picking quarrels over made-up philosophies. The philosophy is already made up. It's in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In Prabhupada's purports, clearly spelled out. Why do we have to make up other ideas to fight about? We have a fight against this Mayavad and against this materialism. Yeah. And devotees have to cooperate in order to carry on this struggle. How can an army win battles if the soldiers are fighting with each other? What kind of discipline and what kind of order, what kind of strength can be manifested by such an army? Anyway, Narada is here encouraging Vyasadeva to go further, to explain the absolute truth as a person. And that he will do In the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, the idea is introduced. Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. The Absolute Truth has three basic aspects. The impersonal aspect is only the first. He is also the Supreme Soul, the Paramatma, sitting in the heart of every living being, having intimate relationship with all his energies. And beyond that, in his third aspect, and his original aspect, he is the Supreme Enjoyer, Purushottama, ultimately Krishna, enjoying with his intimate loving devotees. This is the Absolute Truth, the full picture of the Absolute Truth. This Vyasadeva, being urged on by his guru, this is what Vyasadeva finally presented in his Srimad Bhagavatam. Nine cantos leading us up to be able to properly understand who Krishna is. We read about the creation, about the Srishti Leela, how Vishnu, in his sleep, creates the material existence, and how Brahma, his first creature in this world, fulfills the job, finishes the job. And then we read about various great devotees and other people who are not great devotees, and we can compare between the two. How the demigods and more materialistic people simply quarrel and get into trouble, whereas the pure devotees, they perfect their lives and go back to Godhead. This is described in the middle cantos of the Bhagavatam through the accounts of the life histories of various great personalities, especially in the Moon Dynasty and the Sun Dynasty. And in between, because the Supreme Lord has taken his birth on this earth, among the living beings, various incarnations of Lord Narayan are described in the cantos leading up to the ninth canto. 33 different incarnations are described in some detail, and others are mentioned by name. By hearing the Leelavatara Katha, we get trained up to get ready to hear and fully appreciate the Leela of Krishna, ultimate, complete form of God. So this is the program of Srimad Bhagavatam, programmed instruction, expertly designed teaching course to train us up to become attracted to and understand Krishna. The whole thing is about that. If you're not interested in Krishna, then this is not going to suit you. It's all about Krishna. It's not about anything else, basically. Krishna and his devotees and his devotional service. That is what Narada wants Vyasadeva to present. Enough of this beating around the bush, side issues, karma, jnana, yoga, all this. Okay, enough of that. What about Krishna Bhakti? What about pure devotional service, loving pure devotional service to that Supreme that you've described abstractly in the Upanishads? That's what Narada is asking for now. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? No? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.